And hello, people of the internet. How's it going today? How you doing? I'm Billy Bones, and this is A Walk Through the Mind, a moment where we can sit down, hang out, chit-chat, discuss a handful of ideas that have been bouncing around inside my head, and see if we can't take those ideas for ourselves and go out and get the conversation started with friends, family, the people we meet on the street, or maybe we just get those gears turning within our own head and see where it takes us. So have you heard of this gentleman named Dr. George Kube? Didn't think so. I didn't hear about him until really just a handful of minutes ago. A little bit more than a handful. Been doing a little bit of reading, making sure I get some show notes available to everybody who decides to look at those. But Dr. George Kube, he is the director of the National Institute on Alcohol Abuse and Alcoholism. Very well-decorated individual as far as academic achievements go, and if you look on his Wikipedia page, be prepared to learn some really big words. He has done a lot of research, got a BS in zoology from Pennsylvania State in 1969, a PhD in behavioral physiology from Johns Hopkins, and a postdoctorate fellow at the University of Cambridge. Published over 750 scientific papers and a whole bunch of awards, journal editor, smart guy. So hard to kind of question his judgment when he's done so much research. But this gentleman, he is looking towards Canada for guidance on what he might recommend towards the United States and Americans in their drinking habits. Canada has just shifted their drinking recommendations for their citizens to 1 to 2 drinks a week. That's it. No more. No fun, no reality enhancers for you. Whereas the current recommended guidelines for Americans is 2 drinks a day for men and 1 drink a day for women, if we know what all of those genders are. Because apparently there's a difference in the ability for the body to process alcohol, the size of the liver, the blood flow, all sorts of other good things that happen with science and biology. But I'm not here to talk about it. Here to talk about drinking, this reduction in the social lubricant, reduction of the good times juice, easy to abuse. I will not let that pass by without comment. A lot of people have had issues with alcohol and definitely has had some problems, seeing as back before the Prohibition, the average American was drinking approximately 7 gallons of alcohol a week, and now we are down to a mere 2.5 gallons, or at least 2020 numbers, using now outdated research. But our drinking has gone down, and this reduction of alcohol, this call to reduce the amount of alcohol that we are drinking, reminds me of really old news. Back in 2009, Australian race fans were told to reduce their consumption when they attended the Bathurst 1000 car race to 24 cans a day. And those rules are still in effect over this 4-day event. No more than 24 beers a day, or no more than 4 liters of wine or hard spirits. I guess spirits are going to be a little bit different. One 750 milliliter bottle, plastic bottle only, of hard liquor for you Australians attending that race day, just to make sure you don't get too hammered. And if you show up with your 4-day allotment in 1 day, they will throw out the excess. So if you show up with 48 beers, they're taking 24 of them and just throwing them in the incinerator. You don't get to keep those. No party for you. Kind of silly. But Australians are drinking less, or at least less beer. They're leaning a little bit more towards the liquor, a little bit easier to consume on all these things. I think it, again, is kind of absurd that, you know, we need to go so far down, but maybe we do have a problem. Maybe we consume too much alcohol. It's too much of a, again, that social lubricant, the thing that we all need and desire just to let our guard slip just a little bit so we can make the less than stellar decisions that bring us forth through life. But what about those of us who like to play darts or pool? And you need to steady the hand just a little bit. Everybody knows that. I don't know about everybody. There's a handful of people that appreciate the calmness, the stillness, the ability to quiet the mind when, and quiet the nerves when playing pool. You get the 2 to 3 beer buzz going and you can find your stride. But then once you start getting into beer 4 and 5, you start to get sloppy. There's all those studies out there as well that talk about how red wine is supposedly really good for your health. Again, that calming situation, that chance to unwind, to relax, to let the day slip by. But I guess things like that can be set aside for simpler things like yoga or going for a run. I will give credence that those are healthier sounding options than sitting back and having a beer, having a glass of wine. Not a big fan of drinking liquor at home. I think if you're going to drink liquor, that's going to get you a little bit more drunk on a different level. And there are different drunks to different alcohols. I will vouch for that. I got side-eyed by a bartender a couple months ago, when I mentioned that there is a difference in tequilas. You drink the bottom shelf, terrible stuff, and you go out and you start a fight. It is your fault for starting the fight. But sometimes that different alcohol processes in your liver, your body, just a little bit different. All the extra toxins that are flowing through there enable different things. I was told I talked in my sleep with certain tequilas and didn't talk in my sleep with other tequilas. So that's the easy enough explanation. Sometimes you're a happy drunk, sometimes you're a miserable drunk. But also in the terms of drinks, again, this is a study in reducing the number of drinks, or at least the health impacts. And again, I will tell you that as a non-doctor, that there will be health impacts when you are not consuming something that actively impacts the liver, makes it work overtime to scrub all the extra things that you pass through it. Alcohol processes as a sugar as it goes through your body. So everybody knows that too much sugar is bad for your health. So why create something that your body now has to work doubly hard at getting rid of because it's not a natural sugar? But if you go talk to the Beer Institute Association, the Brewers Association, located in Washington, D.C., or at least maybe that's where they've got their own little office with a phone, and that's it, just a simple mailing address. They claim that beer and spirits are not the same drink. I can attest that, at least for me, when I'm drinking beer, it's a nice, slow, take-your-time drink. Granted, I'm not a college frat boy that is out there doing shotguns of beers, at least not anymore. So a beer will last me a while. That's also to say, though, that if you are a sophisticated individual, you can sit back and take your time on a whiskey or a scotch and enjoy it, neat or on the rocks, and soak it in and appreciate it. Maybe pair it with a good cigar. We should probably stop those too, reduce that. Hear tobacco is bad for your health. But the Brewers Association, again, that says that these drinks are not equal because more than often, you're consuming the liquor just a little bit quicker than you will the beer. And usually, when you're drinking liquor, again, unless you're one of them sophisticated folk, you got a chaser or a mixer. Now, I'm not here to rag on you for doing a chaser because hard alcohol has one heck of a taste, unless you're drinking really nice stuff. And if you're drinking nice stuff, there's no reason to have a chaser because you already spent enough money on the nice stuff. But if you are running a chaser, again, we'll just go with a simple Coca-Cola with all that bonus high fructose corn syrup. Makes it delicious. Makes that Jack Daniels go down just a little bit easier, a little bit tastier. There's nothing wrong with a good Jack and Coke to go with your Sunday afternoon, your Saturday afternoon, whatever you're doing. But again, there's health detriments to that. And again, it's nice and sweet, so it goes down quicker. So why not have another? Unless you're well-versed in understanding that you can only have the one drink, or maybe you have the one drink and it's just in a pint glass. You got a whole bunch of extra Coca-Cola and merely that 1.5 ounces of liquor. that concentrated alcohol content. But what if you're having those mixed drinks, not just the Coca-Cola? How many mixed drinks only have just the 1.5 ounce drink? How many of those foo-foo drinks do we all go out and have that have 3 or 4 different types of booze all labeled into them? Or what if we are health conscious and we choose to have that diet soda instead of the regular soda to knock back our drink? Little things like aspartame in there will process the alcohol just a little bit quicker. You'll get bonus effects. One of the easiest times I've had that I know of, obviously can't remember blacking out, or at least I remember not remembering the night, was having sugar-free drinks while drinking liquor. Now, is alcohol my problem, or is the diet soda my problem? Maybe a combination? Was there tobacco involved in the night as well? Should probably, again, reduce some of that as well for health benefits. And so where does this doctor get off telling us that we should do things less? We all know that. We all know the risks. Maybe we don't. Maybe we're slightly uneducated with this world of the internet telling us how things are, telling us all the available research, telling us again that cigarettes and alcohol are bad for our health. Where does this doctor get off? Is he a doctor? He's got a PhD. He is a doctor. Maybe it is for our best interest. Maybe it is an attempt to help us live healthier, stronger lives. Maybe he should recommend that we all go for a 3-mile jog every single night. Whether or not we need knee braces and ankle braces, whether or not we have a dog or a cat or a ferret, maybe a little rat hanging off a leash that we run around the block with, whether or not we live in a good or a bad neighborhood or even have sidewalks or traffic or no traffic. Maybe again we should do that yoga instead of having the drink. But also when we go and talk to our doctor, I don't have to do physicals anymore on the regular. But every time I went and I had to do a physical, they always asked, how many beers or how many drinks are you having a week? And how many tobaccos are you having a week? Who tells the truth? Probably smart people, honest people, people that actually care about their life and believe that the doctor is out there doing good things for themselves. I'll admit, I was a little paranoid that they're going to tell me that I was drinking too much. I didn't know what the recommendation was, but thinking 2 drinks a day, that means 14 beers a week, and I'm okay. But at the same time, if I'm drinking 14 beers on Saturday night instead of 2 drinks a day all week, it's definitely a much different story in the total alcohol consumption. I'm sure my liver might have something to say to me if I did that. So there is that balancing act. Understanding again how much we are consuming all at once, everything in moderation, and so that way again it's all balanced out. But if this doctor is going to sit there and go, well, you drink 14 beers a week, whether or not it's all in one day or all throughout the week, wasn't designated on the form, whether or not they dig into it deeper. But for the long-term review of when I'm old and decrepit and I'm on 13 medications, maybe that is good information to be able to look back, as long as I've had the same doctor my entire life, sit there and go, yes, your consumption has been regular, and this is what we can expect for what's going to happen with your liver and your heart, whatever else goes on with these negative consequences of reality enhancers. But what about if I'm given other drugs? Now, I know that I'm not supposed to take alcohol, at least again from personal experience with aspartame, diet sodas, leads to a not so good time for me. I know that I'm not supposed to be drinking when I'm taking Advil, or is it ibuprofen? One of those, because those work the liver and the kidneys excessively. And so if I make my liver and kidneys do double work, can't lead to a good time. But what if I'm on other drugs? Now I've come across quite the list of things, again, within the show notes. But the kind of medications you shouldn't drink, at least under simple recommendations, shouldn't consume those under simple recommendations with alcohol. Things like Adderall, Concerta, Dexedrine, Ritalin, Ativan, Klonopin, Valium, Xanax, Dilantin, Anafril, Celexa, Exafor, Elavil, Lexapro, Luvox, Noraprin, Paxil, Prozac, Sezrone, Wellbutrin, Zoloft, Abilify, Latuda, Rexulti, Seroquel, Zyprexa, Ambien, Lunesta, Prozom, Restorol, Unisom, Allegra, Benadryl, Claritin, Sudafed, Tylenol, Zyrtec, Nitrostat, Amoxicillin, Antivert, and the list goes on and on and on. And so, do I sit here and tell you to reduce your drinking? No, I'm not your doctor. I'm not the director of the National Institute on Alcohol Abuse and Alcoholism. Because as far as I'm concerned, alcohol abuse is not finishing your drink. That's a joke. If you can't finish your drink, don't be forced to drink it. You're not required to finish your drink in any circumstance. Because again, certain situations lead to a terrible time. How many hazing frat parties or sorority parties do people end up with a bad time? How many drinks until you regret certain decisions? Be it just a simple kiss on the lips or maybe getting behind the wheel and now you find yourself up in the drunk tank. You let that social lubricant, that loosening of moral ideas slip just a little bit too far. Now you have greater things of problems. And that's not to say you aren't either a functioning alcoholic as well. Someone that's able to go home, drink your face off, and wake up, do your job again. Maybe you're a doctor or a lawyer, police officer, and that stress, that ability to unwind is just needed to get there. Or is that just that social contagion that tells us that we need a drink to unwind? You're in luck, though, if you're worried that you might be drinking too much before they change this ruling, or not a ruling, but merely a suggestion to hand out to the doctors and medical providers that are out there. One is able to become sober curious now for those that feel that they rely or society relies too much on alcohol. And so you can now go out and have an alcohol-free beverage or an alcohol-light beverage and not be shamed by it. Now, I would say that's more along your peer group and the people that you hang out with, because I've gone out plenty of times to the bars, to parties, and hung out with people that are drinking to an excess of whatever number that you choose to be in excess. And I've had merely that one or two beers, or maybe none at all, because I've made my decision that either a bad time can happen if I so choose to imbibe too much, or maybe I have chosen to be the designated driver, or maybe I just would like to be able to drive home because I don't want to get stuck into a certain situation. Overcoming peer pressure is not the easiest situation, but it's something that, again, we can strive for. So maybe you offer that line that you're being sober curious, or maybe you just put your foot down and say, no, I'm not drinking. And then you got to deal with the frat boys and the sorority sisters that are going to go out there and get the beer bong and force it down your throat anyways. Consequences for them anyways, because we live in a time where everybody gets their revenge now, huh? But just some news, I found it to be a fun conversation. Fun little idea starter. Again, I'm not telling you how to drink, what to drink, when to drink, whether you drink at home, alone, under the covers, under the bed, or if you sneak some whiskey into your coffee in the morning just to get the day started so you can deal with your boss. That's all you. Or if you're sober, or maybe you're going to be angry with me for such a lackluster ordeal of caring about other people's individual rights and concerns of their own reality enhancements or lack thereof. Because I'm not telling you, again, one way or the other. All I'm saying is that there's going to be new suggestions, recommendations, ideas coming forth from the head honchos, not necessarily running the show, but giving out some ideas to make sure that we all follow the rules or follow the healthy ideas until maybe sometime where they're able to enforce or enact some certain ideas because we've decided to drink too much. Kind of goes against the Green Deal. Your beer takes too much energy to create. You've had 6 beers too many this week, so we're going to have to social credit you negative 13 points or whatever the number may be. And you're not allowed to buy more beer until you've worked off or atoned for such a number. Or again, maybe I've just gone too far. I'm making up too many ideas, too many things that kind of get us all thinking too much. And maybe we just need to drown our sorrows in a beer. Or a glass of wine. Maybe a mixed drink. Or that shot. Get yourself a nice glass of scotch on the rocks. And that cigar. And soak it in. And start that conversation. Get those gears turning with friends and family. The people we meet on the street or at the bar. Get that social lubricant flowing. But I've been Billy Bones, B-I-L-L-Y-B-O-N, the number 3-S. You find me on Twitter, or X, or whatever we're calling it now these days, at Billy Bones. You find me on Mastodon, the Fediverse, if your instance hasn't blocked me, at Billy Bones, at noagendasocial.com. I've got a website, if neither of those options are available for you, billybones.com. Again, that is spelled with the number 3 instead of the letter E. And there's a link there for email, again, in case you don't have those social media links to get in contact with me. But also on the website, there's show notes. Quite the collection today. Nothing too important or pressing, but little bits of research if you choose to go a little bit further down the rabbit hole of drinking, and, or at least the side effects of it. And this is a value for value podcast. I release this podcast free of charge, no paywalls, no advertisers, no extra little things to influence the way I can talk to you, choose to talk to you, tell me how to talk to you, or prevent me from talking to you in hopes that you find value out of it. If you did, fantastic, thank you, I'm glad you did. The first thing that I ask that you do is you give this show a share. Maybe someone else, again, find that talking point, find the gears to get turning. We can start that conversation just a little bit further down the road. But if you found this show was worth a monetary value, be that US dollar or Bitcoin, little teeny tiny bits of Bitcoin called Satoshis, I accept both of them. Again, you go to the website, billybones.com, you scroll all the way down, you click the value for value button, and that'll take you to PayPal. Chip in, donate, you support a number, support the show in a number that you find to be an appropriate number. Like today's executive producer, Sir Sean of the Allegheny Valley, who sends in 15 American dollars. Thank you very much, sir. I'm glad you continue to find value. Thank you for helping me keep the podcast going, keep the bills paid, keep the microphone humming. Someone needs to update the software on this. But, again, if the U.S. dollar is not your jam, not your thing, and you prefer that Bitcoin, that digital currency situation, and you're using a new podcast app that uses the podcasting 2.0 infrastructure that does chapters and show notes and show art and all that other fun stuff that I've yet to figure out. I accept those. You can do a lump sum payment, or you can do like Kyle did of the Pocket Parlay and Light Tickle podcast, and he streamed 95 Satoshis a minute. Again, those little teeny tiny bits of Bitcoin for the last episode that he listened to, bringing in a grand total of 1,140 Satoshis. Simple, small pennies into a jar, but again, they all add up, making it easy to transact across this digital landscape. But I'd like to thank everybody for listening. Again, whether or not you found value, hopefully you did. But I love you guys, and I'll talk to you next week.